rereading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from chapter 18, which is called Conclusion, the Perfection of Renunciation, verse 33. Please repeat after me. Dridhyayaya daryate. 18:33. Wait, not everybody's ready yet. Okay. 18. It's more near the back. The page numbers are at the top here in the middle. In the middle at the top. 18:33. It's the last chapter. Please repeat after me. Dritya yaya daryate. Dridhyayaya daryate mana pranendriya kriya mana pranendriya kriya yogena vyabhicharinya yogena vyabhicharinya dritti saparta satviki Dritti sapata sadviki. Dritya yaya daryate. Mana pranendriya kriya. Yogena vyabhicharinya. Dritti sapata sadviki. Dritya yaya daryate. Mana pranendriya kriya yogena vyabhicharinya dritti saparta sadviki dridhyayaya daryate mana pranendriya kriya yogena vyabhicharinya dritti saparta satviki dridhyayaya daryate mana pranendriya kriya yogena vyabhicharinya dritti saparta satviki dridhyayaya daryate mana pranendriya kriya yogena vyabhicharinya dritti saparta sadviki. Ladies? Dridhyayaya daryate mana pranendriya kriya Andriyapyarenyam Dritti saparta sadviki Dritya determination Yaya by which Daryate one sustains Mana of the mind Prana life Indriya and senses, kriya, the activities, yogena, by yoga practice, avyabhicharinya, without any break, dritti, determination, sa, that, parta, of son of Prita, sadviki, in the mode of goodness. Translation. O son of Prita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Please repeat. O son of Preeta,
that determination which is unbreakable,
which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. There's a short purport. Yoga is a means to understand the Supreme Soul. One who is steadily fixed in the Supreme Soul with determination, concentrating one's mind, life, and sensory activities on the Supreme, engages in Krishna consciousness. That sort of determination is in the mode of goodness. The word avyabhicharinya is very significant, for it indicates that persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are never deviated by any other activity. Om Gyanati Randasha Kinanjala Shalaka Chakshula Miritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the touchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Panchaka Patrubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a verse about determination in the mode of goodness. Determination, the Sanskrit is dhriti. So now this verse and the next two are about determination. So today it's the mode of goodness, tomorrow it's the mode of passion, and the next day is the determination in the mode of ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada's writing in the first line of the purport that yoga is a means to understand the Supreme Soul. The Supreme Soul is Krishna. In chapter 6, Krishna was talking about Astanga Yoga, kind of meditation and concentration, and the idea was to understand the Super Soul. In 6:13 and 14, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the goal of life is to know Krishna, who is situated within the heart of every living being as Paramatma, the four-handed Vishnu form. The yoga process is practiced in order to discover and see this localized form of Vishnu, and not for any other purpose. The localized Vishnu Murti is the plenary expansion of Krishna dwelling within one's heart. So even other kinds of yoga, they're all meant to know Krishna. So determination in goodness was described as being unbreakable, and in the purport was a description of Krishna consciousness, that the activities of the mind, mana, mind, prana, life, and indriya, the senses, they're fixed on Krishna, they're dedicated to Krishna. We engage our senses in activities for Krishna. And I'm going to give some examples of that in a minute. Avyabhicharinya, devotees are never deviated by other activities. I was just thinking, can you imagine if all the sannyasis get together and then they have their GBC meetings in Mayapur, then they have a break and they go on to the cinema. It doesn't happen, they don't do that. Someone who's fixed in devotional service, he's always in devotional service. So someone who was fixed in devotional service, the first example that I wanted to give is from Krishna book, and this is the example of Rukmini. Gopinath's Garland Ki Jai. The story of Rukmini is in chapter 52 of Krishna book. So when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he had so many girlfriends. But did he get married in Vrindavan? No, no. And what about Mathura? He stayed there. So Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 16. Okay, it's a bit young to get married. Then he went to Mathura and he stayed there for some years. So in Mathura, was he married in Mathura? No, he was fighting all the time with Jarasandha. He was married in Dwarka. Krishna's first wife was called Rukmini. She heard about him from Narada Muni and she thought, this is the person I want to marry. But the problem was that her marriage was already arranged to somebody else. Didn't mark the page, I just have to look for it. I'll read part of the story. So, the story goes, Rukmini's marriage is arranged, it's going to take place the next day. And Krishna, what they're planning to do is, Krishna is planning to kidnap Rukmini. So this is the situation so far. Meanwhile, in the palace, Rukmini was expecting Krishna to arrive. She doesn't want to get married to Shishupal, she wants Krishna. But when neither he nor the Brahmin who took her message appeared, she was full of anxiety and began to think how unfortunate she was. There is only one night between today and my marriage day, and neither the Brahmin nor Shyamasunda has arrived. I cannot ascertain the reason for this. What she did was she sent a Brahmin messenger to Krishna to suggest that if he wanted her, that he should kidnap her, and it has to happen today. This is the last day that it's possible. And now she's doubting that he hasn't come and why he hasn't come. I cannot ascertain any reason for this. Having little hope, she thought that perhaps Krishna had found some reason to be dissatisfied with her and had rejected her fair proposal. As a result, the Brahmana might have become disappointed and not come back. Although she was thinking of various causes for the delay, she expected them both to arrive at any moment. Rukmini further thought that the demigods such as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Goddess Durga might have been displeased. It is generally said that the demigods become angry when not properly worshipped. For instance, when Indra found that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were not worshipping him, he became angry and wanted to chastise them. Thus Rukmini thought that since she did not worship Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma very much, they might have become angry and tried to frustrate her plan. Rukmini was thinking of the various types of demigods for material benefit, not for material benefit, but in respect to Krishna. Praying to the demigods to achieve the favor of Krishna is not irregular, and Rukmini was fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So she's thinking of Krishna, she's thinking of all the reasons why he might not have come. Just then, Rukmini, full of anxiety, saw the Brahmin messenger. Krishna, being the supersoul of all living beings, could understand Rukmini's anxiety. Therefore, he sent the Brahmin inside the palace to let her know that he had arrived. When Rukmini saw the Brahmin, she could understand the auspicious trembling of her body and immediately became elated. She smiled and inquired whether Krishna had already come. The Brahmin replied that the son of the Yadu dynasty, Sri Krishna, had arrived. He further encouraged her by saying that Krishna had promised to carry her away without fail. Rukmini was so elated by the Brahmin's message that she wanted to give him in charity everything she possessed. However, finding nothing suitable, she simply offered her obeisances unto him. The significance of offering respectful obeisances to a superior is that the one offering obeisances is obliged to the respected person. Rukmini implied that she would remain ever grateful to the Brahmin. So I'll tell the end of the story. What happens is, as she's going to worship, just as she's coming back from the worship in the temple of the goddess Durga, then Krishna takes her, kidnaps her, takes her away. She becomes his first wife. Even though all her family were against the marriage to Krishna, not against, but that it was arranged to Shishupal and that she was heavily guarded, still she was determined to marry Krishna, and this is also what happened. There is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 9 was mentioned great determination. That was in connection with the Mahatmas, 9:14. If anybody wants to look at 9:14. Satatam kirti antomam yudantas cha dridavrata namashantas chamam bhakcha nicha yukta upashite. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. In the purport, Prabhupada says, in the middle of the purport, such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. So that was the first part of the class, and the second part, I wanted to do something a little different. If you notice in the verse that we're doing today, it says, O son of Prita, the last line of the purport, Driti sa parta sattviki. And then tomorrow it's Driti sa parta rajasi, and the next day will be Driti sa parta tamasi. And yesterday was also about Partha. Krishna keeps calling him Partha. Buddhi saparta tamasi, the day before. Buddhi saparta rajasi, the day before. Buddhi saparta sattviki. Partha, this means son of Prita, his brother's name. So, he could just call her, he just could call him Arjuna. But to honor his mother, he's calling him son of Prita. So Partha is one of Krishna, Arjuna's names. And one of Krishna's names is Partha Sarathi, the charioteer of Krishna. So he could be called Arjuna Sarathi. But to honor Krishna's Arjuna's mother, he's called Partha Sarathi. And even the ISKCON temple in Delhi, New Delhi, is the deities are Partha Sarathi. Krishna's name is Partha Sarathi. And so I looked on the Vedabase, and her name is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 116 times. Arjuna's mother's name is mentioned 116 times in Bhagavad Gita. So she must be someone very special. Arjuna's mother got her name mentioned 116 times. She must be a pretty special lady. You probably know her other name, Queen Kunti. So Queen Kunti was born as, her first name was Prita. She was the daughter of Shurasen. And Krishna's father, his name was, what's the name of Krishna's father? Vasudev. He was the son of Shurasen. So they were brother and sister. So this means that Prita was Krishna's auntie. So then, because Shurasen's cousin didn't have any children, her father gave him in adoption to his friend, Kunti Bhoja. So then, she was brought up by Kunti Bhoja, and because of that, she was called Kunti. So she has two names, Prita and Kunti. So a very special thing happened while she was young. She was serving Duvasa Muni. All kinds of sages and saints used to come to the palace, and she served him very nicely, and he gave her a special mantra by which she could call demigods. So one day, she was sitting in her room. She was not married. She was still a teenager. She was at home, and she thought, I'll try this mantra. And she called the sun god. And he appeared in front of her and said, yes, you would like me to give you a son? And she said, no, I'm not married. You can't do that. He said, you can't just call me for nothing. I have to give you a son. But don't worry, I will make him be born from your ear. So this is why Karna is called Karna, because Karna means ear. So Karna is born from her ear, and because she was not married, she put him in a basket and floated him down the river. And then after she married to Pandu, what happened was Pandu had a curse that he couldn't get children. If he got intimate with his wife, he would die. He had two wives, Madri and Kunti. So it was very useful that she could call the demigods to get sons. So the eldest son of the Pandavas is called Yudhisthira. And so to get Yudhisthira, she called, who does she call? Who's his father? Seminal father. Yamaraj. She calls Yamaraj and she gets Yudhisthira. And the next one is Bhima. Who's his seminal father? Vayu, the wind god, very strong. Pandu wanted a very strong son. So on his behalf, she called the wind god Vayu, and she got Bhima. And the next one was Arjuna. So for Arjuna, to get Arjuna, she called Indra. And then, so that's her four children. And then for her co-wife, Madri, she called the Ashwini Kumaras, and then Madri got Nakul and Sahadev. So there are the five Pandavas. And the first one didn't know that he was the son of Kunti until later. So she has these five sons. So Pandu, her husband dies when he's quite young. And this means Pandu is the brother of Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra is her brother-in-law. But he's not very nice to her, and he tries to kill her sons in so many ways, and even her and her sons, really quite a tough life. They get exiled, and then Krishna is always protecting them. And then as Krishna is leaving, she says to him some prayers, and they're recorded in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In chapter 8, they're known as the prayers of Queen Kunti. And they're so famous that Srila Prabhupada wrote a book. It's called The Teachings of Queen Kunti. And these are the prayers of Queen Kunti in this little book. Cost €8. You can buy it here in Radhadesh. And the prayers are very nice. And I'll just say one or two of them. This is one that I like. It's Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 21. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Would you like to repeat it? Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. And another one that I like, that is number 42. I just read the translation. O Lord of Madhu, As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anything else. Tvai mananya vishaya mati madupate sakrit rati mudvaha tat ada gangavoga madan vati. As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. I'll read what Prabhupada said about Prita. In the first canto, in chapter 13, he's writing about Prita. The daughter of Maharaj Shurasen and sister of Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father. Later she was adopted by Maharaj Kuntibhoja, and hence she is known as Kunti. She is the incarnation of the success potency of the Personality of Godhead. The heavenly denizens from the upper planets used to visit the palace of King Kuntibhoja, and Kunti was engaged for their reception. She also served the great mystic sage Durvasa, and being satisfied by her faithful service, Durvasa Muni gave her a mantra by which it was possible for her to call for any demigod she pleased. As a matter of inquisitiveness, she at once called for the sun god, who desired couplement with her, but she declined. But the sun god assured her immunity from virgin adulteration, and so she agreed to his proposal. As a result of this couplement, she became pregnant, and Karna was born of her. By the grace of the sun, she again turned into a virgin girl, but being afraid of her parents, she quitted the newly born child, Karna. After that, when she actually selected her own husband, she preferred Pandu to be her husband. Maharaj Pandu later wanted to retire from family life and adopt the renounced order of life. Kunti refused to allow her husband to adopt such a life, but at last Maharaj Pandu gave her permission to become a mother of sons by calling some other suitable personalities. Kunti did not accept this proposal at first, but when vivid examples were set by Pandu, she agreed. Thus, by dint of the mantra awarded by Durvasa Muni, she called for Dharmaraj, and Yudhisthira was born. She called for the demigod Vayu, air, and thus Bhima was born. She called for Indra, the king of heaven, and thus Arjuna was born. So this means that Arjuna is the son of the king of heaven. The other two sons, namely Nakul and Sahadev, were begotten by Pandu himself, in the womb of Madri. Later on, Pandu died at an early age, for which Kunti was so aggrieved that she fainted. Two co-wives, namely Kunti and Madri, decided that Kunti should live for the maintenance of the five minor children, the Pandavas, and Madri should accept the sati rituals by meeting voluntary death along with her husband. This agreement was endorsed by great sages like Satasringa and others present on the occasion. Later on, when the Pandavas were banished from the kingdom by the intrigues of Duryodhan, Kunti followed her sons, and she equally faced all sorts of difficulties in those days. During the forest life, one demon girl, Hidimba, wanted Bhima as her husband. Bhima refused, but when a girl approached Kunti and Yudhisthira, they ordered Bhima to accept her proposal and give her a son. As a result of this combination, Ghatotkacha was born, and he fought very valiantly with his father against the Kauravas. In their forest life, They lived with a Brahmin family that was in trouble because of one Bakasura demon, and Kunti ordered Bhima to kill Bakasura to protect the Brahmin family against the troubles created by the demon. She advised Yudhisthira to start for Panchala Desh. Draupadi was gained in this Panchala Desh by Arjuna. But by the order of Kunti, all five of the Pandava brothers became equally the husbands of Panchali or Draupadi. Draupadi was married with the five Pandavas in the presence of Vyasadeva. Kunti Devi never forgot her first child, Karna. And after Karna's death in the Battle of Kurukshetra, she lamented and admitted before her other sons that Karna was her eldest son prior to her marriage with Pandu Maharaj. Her prayers for the Lord after the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna was going back home, are excellently explained. Later, she went to the forest with Gandhari for severe penance. She used to take meals after each 30 days. Finally, she sat down in profound meditation and later burned to ashes in a forest fire. That was Prita, Queen Kunti. Okay, so I'll stop here. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions? Yes. Yes. They can make it by their own meditation. It doesn't say that she did, but they could do. That's what Dhritarashtra did. At first I thought that she had burnt in his fire, but because when Dhritarashtra left his body, he made a fire and he burnt and his wife entered the fire. But it seems that Kunti stayed longer. No, the first part was about determination, and the second part was about Partha, about Arjuna being called Partha. That his name was Partha, O son of Prita. And because it's her name's mentioned more than 100 times in Bhagavad Gita, I thought we should say a little something about her.
And why was she called Prita again?
She was called Prita, that was her name.
Yeah, but you said she was
Kunti.
Yes, two different
yeah. Yes. So she was called Prita first, and then she was adopted by Kunti Bhoja, and then they called her Kunti. Shurasen. Yes. I didn't look it up. So Arjuna is called Partha because that's derived from that's son of Prita. And Krishna honors her by being called Partha Sarthi, Charitya of the son of Prita. So in the Bhagavad Gita, he's called O son of Prita 63 times and son of Kunti 50 times. Something like that. Prita. P, then R with a dot under it, T-H-A, long A.
Could you say something more about this? It's sustained, it's steadfast by lower things. How do you sustain something? And how does your other practice give steadfastness?
I don't know. I don't know what you're... See, this yoga practice is just yogena, so whether that means bhakti yoga or astanga yoga, that's not clear. Or whether it means both. And you can take it to be bhakti yoga because it says the activities of the mind, life and senses, they're engaged in Krishna consciousness. It's not specified. Prabhupada's not specifying it. The point is that there's three kinds of determination, and he's explaining the difference between them. So today was goodness, tomorrow is passion, and the next day is ignorance. So I think we can stop here. We can do a little kirtan now. And then what time does the curtain open? 10 to 9? So we can do some bhajans. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.